It is Monday, July 23rd. Is it the last day? No, last Monday in July. Andy's the one that always has the calendar in front of him. I can never remember what day it is. Andy is not here today. He is, he's still taking his vacation, but that's all right. He'll be back tomorrow, and then I'll be gone later in the week. So we're just kind of, we're switching around on our vacations. I think hashtag Missionary Monday might become a thing one of these days. We have, it's summer, so it's home service for, or furlough, or, well, we'll ask him what he would like to refer to it as. We have another missionary in studio with us today. These are some of my favorite interviews, as most of you probably have recognized by now. But before we get into that, thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for your support of the Coffee Hour. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu or on our website, kfuo.org, and look for them in the sponsor section. Joining me in studio today, all the way from Togo, Reverend Jacob Gaugert, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Thanks for joining me. And I think, not to put you on the spot, but this is like one of the interviews that I've been waiting for, because I've known about your service just from Chicago, the Chicago connection. Mm-hmm. I've been kind of following it. Oh, and we're birthday buddies. That was the other thing.
Oh, yes?
We have the same birthday.
May 25th?
May 25th.
The day of the venerable bead.
Yes,
well.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's a great day. Mm-hmm. So there you go. So I always see that on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's my birthday buddy. So, but that's a different story. So you're back on home service or furlough or something a little bit.
Yeah, some people refer to it as furlough, but that kind of gives the impression that it's a vacation or a downtime, and it certainly isn't that. So this is my first furlough after having been in the field for about 5 years now.
Yeah.
So I have quite a few very generous and faithful donors that I need to reconnect with and give them reports on the impact of their gifts in the Lord's work there.
Yeah. So you were, before we were on air, you were telling me all the states you're going to. And it's a long list.
Yeah, yeah. We've got Illinois, Indiana. I'll be in Kansas this week as well. Iowa, Wisconsin, South Dakota, Nebraska, Midwest, and then also hopping through Florida and then a little bit on the East Coast as well. So quite a few different places to visit over the next 7 months.
Yeah, but that's awesome. And the work in Togo is really incredible, mm-hmm. I think. Tell me, our listeners may or may not be familiar, but tell me about what you do in Togo and why this work is really incredible in West Africa.
Okay, well, where I serve now is at our seminary that we have there. It's a partner seminary in collaboration with 9 different church bodies from 8 different countries in Francophone Africa. Mm-hmm. Francophone Africa being those countries in Africa where French is the main official language of commerce, education, law, even though in many of those countries people will speak dozens, if not hundreds, of different languages. So I serve there, and we bring in all of these different pastor or candidates for the pastoral ministry to our seminary, training them for 3 years there on campus, and then assisting with collaboration and consultation with the partner churches for catechesis, following along with vicarages, and then being there to help them work through different theological and practical issues.
Absolutely. And where do the students come from? Is it just those countries that surround Togo, or do you get students from further away?
We do get students from further away. Our seminary has kind of, by God's grace, it's for better or for worse, it's kind of outgrown what its original intention was to be. Mm-hmm. When the Missouri Synod started doing work in Francophone Africa a few decades ago, mm-hmm. it was mainly concentrated in Togo and then the Ivory Coast and some of the other countries around there. And so Togo was supposed to be a first step regional seminary for pastoral education in West Africa, Francophone West Africa. And since then, it's kind of expanded also with partnerships from mission outreach from our partner church in France. Mm-hmm. There's some history of Canada also working in Francophone Africa. And so we have then also students from the Democratic Republic of the Congo, mm-hmm. formerly known as Zaire, mm-hmm. The Republic of the Congo on the other side of the Congo River, a different country, and also now expanding into the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and Burundi and some of the other Francophone countries there. And we do then also have connections from time to time with other Lutheran bodies that are in countries such as Chad and Cameroon, even though we don't have official partnerships with them, but we do communicate from time to time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is it like, and you've been there for a while, but what is it like to be able to teach at a Lutheran seminary, teaching Lutheran theology to people from all across Africa? I'm assuming their cultures are all different.
Yeah, that's one thing that, a lot, we forget really how large Africa is.
Yeah,
it's very difficult
do.
In a general sense to speak about, well, what do the Africans think? How do they tick?
Mm-hmm.
We can speak generally about that, but everyone has their own different cultural nuances. And with the different levels of development and education, simply the context from which they come, it's absolutely fascinating. And I find it very fulfilling to be in a classroom and have these exchanges with our students when they're wrestling with the practical implications of this theology.
Mm-hmm.
And many of our students, some of them are first-generation converts from maybe pagan religions, or you could call them refugees from more Pentecostal or revivalist groups, or those who have kind of stepped out of a cultural Roman Catholicism.
Yeah.
And then now they're in the Lutheran Church and quite much appreciate the liturgy and the biblical basis of a lot of the very good liturgical practices and texts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is the state of Lutheranism? You mentioned a lot of people are maybe first generation, quote unquote, Lutherans.
Yeah.
What is the state of Lutheranism in West Africa and maybe greater Africa? But
well, perhaps to speak more in the area of Francophone Africa, we're dealing with relatively young church bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe histories of 10, 15, 20, maybe 30 years or so. And so we're dealing now with a lot of still first-generation Christians. There's some second-generation Christians and even some third-generation Christians in that sense.
Yeah.
But the church is very young. You can say that. If you go into a village and visit, you'll sometimes have 80, maybe 130, 150 people in a very small church building. But the majority of the people there will be children under the age of 18.
Wow.
I mean, if think about something like 60 or 70% of the congregation or those who are at least present being under that age, simply because the families are so large, and we do have this engagement with Sunday school and that sort of outreach in the community. And in many cases, the children that are attending, maybe their parents or grandparents are not Christian or maybe nominally Christian. And so there's a lot of opportunity for the future of these churches. And so we really want to make sure that the pastors are teaching and preaching and administering the sacraments appropriately so that these churches can be very strong and well-based.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So then your role at the seminary, you're a theological educator.
Mm-hmm.
What kinds of things do you get to teach then?
Lately, we've been teaching a class. Well, I've been teaching a class that we've been calling Lutheran Identity.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we've been going through some catechetical materials.
Mm-hmm.
The main text that I've been using is a resource that probably a lot of people in the Missouri Synod might be familiar with, is Luther Catechesis by Peter Bender.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been using different pieces of that, connecting that also with different parts of the liturgy, and also discussing appropriately how to translate that into some local languages. Not necessarily in written, printed form, but at least with the presence of the pastors and their pastoral care and knowing their people, encouraging that. So I've been teaching that Lutheran Identity class. I've taught classes on the means of grace, the Book of Hebrews, and also this last year we reintroduced Greek into the curriculum. And so there are certain students who have the aptitude to study Greek.
Oh.
One of the biggest challenges that we have is that there's so much variation of the education system in Francophone Africa. And so we do have students that will come to the seminary and they have not yet graduated from high school.
Wow.
But yet they have an inner call and the churches have proposed them for theological studies. And many times they do struggle with the academic level.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, these are very young churches and it's simply the context that we have there.
Yeah.
And then when they're there for the 3 years, we have some fantastic students who have never graduated from high school but get straight A's all the way through. The only reason they haven't been to high school because there wasn't a high school in their village, or maybe responsibilities in their family and village may have kept them from being able to pay the fees or even to have time to do that because they had to be in the fields. And that's exactly the kind of candidate that we want to have at our seminary, those who really have a sincere pastoral heart, who already have demonstrated in their communities a heart of service and love for others.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many things I want to talk about. We have like a minute and a half left. The students that you get at the seminary, what are their situations at home? Who are the people that they're going to be ministering to?
It's varied. For the most part, the pastors that come to us, they come from communities where the main career, if you could say that, is just sustenance farming. Mm-hmm. Or perhaps even people who might be more in a forest region, and they kind of live off what they're able to hunt and maybe a few banana trees or something like that with a plantation. And that's the context that they will then be going back to.
Yeah.
Most of our pastors, unfortunately, we're still working on stewardship and the development of the church on an administrative and financial level.
Mm-hmm.
They will probably not be receiving any salary in many cases,
yeah,
which is something that we're very gently trying to deal with in certain areas, because a worker deserves his wages.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, when everyone is just in sustenance farming, there really isn't much cash going around. People
mm-hmm.
are just eating what's available. So that's really the majority of our students come from those sort of a context of sustenance farming. Some of them are small business owners. Maybe they help out at like a small store or something like that. And we do have some students now that are from larger cities, such as Abidjan in Ivory Coast, or maybe Congo Brazzaville. And some of them have some college education. So, but they're also there and doing the same formation that those who have not yet graduated high school from. And of course, the body of Christ has many different members and their different functions. And these gentlemen will be serving then in these different ministeriums with both their gifts and also complementing one another's weaknesses.
Absolutely. And we're all out of time. Is there a place we can follow your work or West Africa online?
Yeah, there is on Facebook. There's LCMS West Africa, I believe.
Okay.
You can check in there. Also, on the LCMS webpage, if you do a Google search for LCMS Gaugert, my last name, Gaugert, there will be a link there to my particular page and also a giving page.
Perfect.
If people would like.
Reverend Jacob Gaugert in studio. You're listening to The Coffee Hour.